This week on Chicago Beer Pass, Nick and I are diving into more barrel-aged beers as we talk about the 16th FOBAB at the UIC Forum. All that and more on this week's episode. These last 3 weeks of the week, what'd you make it to?
Yeah, because you know, got a cork popped out, boom, it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
The legend, Mr. Pete Crowley. I love Pete Crowley, man.
How's that beer? That's what you think it is.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to, every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw.
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Brad, what's up, man? I'm Nick White.
And we have survived FOBAB only to find ourselves drinking more barrel-aged beer.
Man, the fun never stops, you know? And then, like, I did take a little breather, you know, like Sunday, Monday, no barrel-aged beers on those days.
Why?
Dude, because I got FOBABed, you know? You look up, you're drinking fucking Cantrell mix, then Benthic right behind that, and you're right. Like, dude, I gotta really reevaluate my life.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Understandable. But, yeah, we'll run over FOBAB here in 1 second. But first, we should mention what we're drinking. We are drinking the Barrel Age Imperial Pajamas. Jonathan Surratt, a.k.a. Beernator, who was on the last episode, brought this bottle over, and we didn't dive into it.
Yeah, man, it was nice of him to bring that over. And this is pretty good, man. So cheers to Jonathan. Hey, so flannel pajamas, I think, right, is an Imperial Oatmeal Stout.
Yes.
So this is a six-month rest in Heaven Hill barrels. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I went to the release party where they did all the variants, and they had pancake and French toast and chocolate. I don't know, all these different ones.
Oh, all the different flavors.
Yeah, all the different variants of it. And it was a blast. They're going to have to figure out something else for next year because it is growing.
Really?
So,
yeah.
And it's what, the weekend before FOBAB or 2 weeks before FOBAB?
Yeah, so. You know, I really enjoyed how this came out and then everybody at once kind of celebrated, you know, FOBAB week, if you will, you know. Yeah, and I want to say Heaven Hill is the crew that is responsible for Elijah Craig, which of course is, you know, last year's 2017 Whiskey of the Year was an Elijah Craig variant. Mm-hmm. So,
This is nice. It's got that heat that you kind of want, a little bit of burn. Mm-hmm. It's just like your after-dinner drink. It's nice.
Bagal does a great job of having a really good body without doing a whole lot, you know? A whole lot of, I mean, without a lot of viscosity is what I meant to say.
Okay.
Yeah, nice, pleasant, you know, medium body, not thick. I like that.
Yeah. So that leads us into FOBAB then, talking about barrel-aged beers, the Festival of Barrel-Aged Beers. Or it used to be wood and barrel-aged beers, right? They dropped the wood?
No, I think the W silent.
Oh, W silent. this is the 16th anniversary over at the UIC Forum.
Yes.
And the thing you noticed as soon as you went in this year was you got the full pat down.
Man, they made me spread my ass cheeks after and gave me the wand. Thought it was bizarre. And then later on, you know, instead of a 2 p.m. start for awards, it ended up being 3 p.m. I think we found out why they had metal detectors this year because, you know, the goddamn mayor of Chicago was there.
Right.
Rahm Emanuel.
Yeah. I mentioned this to a couple people, but those metal detectors just kind of sucked. And the security guards were extremely strict. I had a bunch of change in my pocket, and I still had coins from my trip to Asia, and those are like real metal coins. Like sometimes I have a pen, like a Apple pencil in my pocket, and it sticks to it because there's actual metal. And they're like, "What's in your pockets?" Like, they're coins, man. Like, what do you think is in here? Like, you could, any sort of weapon is pretty big.
Yeah, we were talking down, we were down front by the stage, and we were talking to, you know, everybody in local media, right? I think, you know, a few brews and Hop Review and Zoller from Porch Drinking and, you know. Oh, and we were saying how, you know, I'm not really sure why the mayor is here, but I have to remind myself that this is a fundraiser. The FOBAB is, as much as it's FOBAB, it's still a fundraiser. And they're just doing what they got to do, man. So, you know, there's that.
And they had the Friday Night Lights and he was, or Friday Night Flights, and he was kind of a part of that, right? So he did have that beer podcast that I only saw the Haymarket episode. I don't know if they continue.
Like from his office.
Maybe there's a Beguile one too.
But. Yeah. I think he lives up near. I think he lives in Ravenswood too.
Okay, makes sense.
So he lives right by Malt Row. So of course he's gonna be like, "Hey, I'm down for these small. I'm down for beer business in Chicago."
So we got in there the hour early for the VIP /
Imbibe. Yeah, Imbibe's worth it if you. I think there's a yearly membership fee. Mm-hmm. It's worth it just to get into that party an hour early.
Yeah,
because dude, you can feel the energy when they let general admission into this thing. We're kind of hanging out, just like, man, let's just enjoy this moment because it's gonna be nasty up in here.
Mm-hmm. And there's already lines in that first hour, so do not think that you're gonna get in an hour early and there's no lines. There are lines for beers. There was a line for Benthic. Your lady was pouring that one.
Yeah, shout out to Afro Beer Chick. She was over there getting it done with the Benthic. And then the Benthic was right next to Horace, Deeper Shade, which was like a huge crowd favorite just amongst, you know, people talking.
I did see something on Twitter or Instagram that they don't actually brew their own beer or something. No. They're like contract.
I know it's called Horace Aged Ales.
Yeah.
So maybe it's kind of like a blendery, kind of in the vein of Casey, but on maybe like the darker side.
Yeah, I don't. Honestly, I don't know enough about them.
Yeah. But
the Deepest Shade was tasty.
It was fantastic, man. It kind of reminded me like a little, like, you know, those malt balls. Reminded me a little bit of a Pop-Tart with, like, you know, some fudge or chocolate or something on it. Hey, it was great. Really approachable. I dug it a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there was no line for Chemtrail mix.
Oh, how sweet was that?
As soon as the crowds opened, that line was like, it was at one end of the room and it basically went through the door. But walking up to that, 15%. No line. Oh, yeah, I'll take one of those.
I think what I needed to do, and I didn't realize this until the back-to-back Chemtrail and Benthic was, like, then I got on a mission to spread out the stouts. Like, if I have a stout, cleanse at somehow, you know, go lower, and then come back to the stout.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I was really frustrated with, like, man, I can't get the coconut. I'm still tasting goddamn cinnamon and peppercorns, you know.
But that's where the lines are.
Exactly.
They need to rethink this a little bit because this causes chaos in the where the lines are for these big stouts. They're at the back and they kind of lead you into the next room that takes you over to the cider, or not the, it's right by the ciders, but leads you to the, like, the Perry's and
cider meads and Perry's wild ales.
So it gets crowded there.
It's you know, it's FOBAB. You know, hey, Bottle Logic took best in show. The crew. So they had a barley wine, and then they had their stout, Fundamental Observation Stout, is what took best in show. Runner-up was Hopewell.
Yeah,
Hopewell.
Speaking of sours, right?
Yeah, for a dry-hopped Saison, a dry-hopped wild Saison, I think. Yeah, so good for the Hopewell guys, man. You know.
This year, I know last year I talked about that Raspberry Oarsman. I didn't find any of those beers this year that, like, I kept going back to.
Yeah.
I kept exploring and trying new things. There was a few more, I think, misses this year that I had that were just like, nah, I can't do this. Moving on.
Yeah, I wanted to like the Barrel Aged Krumpus cookies because that's a release from
350.
No. Oh. The Old Irving.
Oh.
They're doing a Barrel Aged Krumpus. You know, I have been.
I think 350 has a Krumpus
probably
coming out, or they have a Krumpus party.
And then who else? Lake Effect. I was really gunning for Lake Effect's Espresso Stout. You know, it has all the things, and then I always liked their stouts.
Yeah.
I tried both of those, and I wanted to like them more than I did. They were fine, but I thought, what was I going to say? Oh, my favorite part about FOBAB was that, you know, it wasn't the same old party. Like, we're still discovering, like, new out-of-state breweries at this thing. You know.
And there was a lot of out-of-state winners this year. One more thing on a beer that I found that I really did enjoy was from Blue Island was their Limon beer. I don't remember much about it, but it was kind of tasty and had a nice, refreshing flavor.
Yeah.
But, yeah, a lot more out-of-state people.
Yeah, and, you know, the guys who put on the show were excited about Casa Agria from California.
Yeah, Alex.
Alex at Brickstone. Mm-hmm. And shout out to him. Because they won. Yeah. They took a medal for, I want to say, Afterworld. Luxardo Cherry Afterworld. Mm-hmm. Oh, but yeah, he's like, dude, you know, you need to go try these two beers. You know, and there was a, I think we all tried them. There was an...
Is there a Courant one,
right? There was an apricot one, and then there was a jammy one.
Yeah, that was more like blackberry, Courant, grape, something like that.
Yeah. So yeah, Casa Agra Specialty Ales out of Oxnard, California.
Yeah, those are tasty.
And then the Oris Aged Ale guys, I want to say they took a medal for their barley wine. And then of course Deeper Shade is a stout we were talking about that was next to Benthic. Yeah. Yeah, just stuff that I hadn't really wasn't on my radar at all.
Yeah.
So that was cool. How about Moore, man? They do it again. They take a gold for Mendy,
right,
which is another barrel aged beer of theirs.
Another one you did not have to wait in line for, at least in that like first hour. Like I was just like, oh, I guess I'll try the Mendy. I haven't really had any of those Moore beers because I'm not cool enough to make it to those events. So having their beers, I was like, all right, nice.
Yeah. And the Horace Aged Ale that won was Goodbye to Beauty. That was a wild sour with fruit. It was not a barley.
It was not Deepest Shade. Okay.
Yeah. Nice. Oh yeah. A couple more notes from this year. You know, last year only 5 local breweries won. This year 16. 16 awards to local breweries.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah. Shout out to Off Color. They won the Wild Brett category with Wildings.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was the blueberry one that they brought to Great Taste. You know, and how about Workforce Brewing, man? So the fruit beer category, Illinois swept completely with Brickstone, with the bronze, and then Workforce, and I don't recall a time this ever happening, won twice in one category.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. The Legend of Burger was the silver, and the Farmhouse Vultures with blackberries and raspberries was the gold. So,
I was talking to one of the Workforce guys with Chet Brett before the awards happened, and I feel like kind of stupid now that they won. I was like telling them, like, I thought they were in Tinley Park, even though I have been to their brewery with my family. And so I finally, that clicked as I was talking to them.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, I haven't had like enough of your beers to like know much about you guys. Like I've had stuff, I like it, but I don't know anything. And then they go and win. It's like, oh damn, I just told this guy, oh, sorry, I haven't had your beers yet.
I tell you, man, they've been white hot the last 3 years,
for
man,
sure.
In like World Beer Cup, GABF, and FOBAB.
Yeah, super nice guys, and yeah, congrats to them for winning. Like, check out their brewery. Their tap room is awesome, like big German beer hall style tables. There's no glass like in the brewery, so you can kind of like look, just like kind of like lean over and be like, oh, what's brewing here, sort of thing.
Gotcha.
It's not like behind a wall. It's cool.
Yeah, Illinois swept the classic styles category and the fruit beer category.
Okay.
That was fun.
What was in the classic styles that won?
Let's look at our cards here.
Mm-hmm. There's so many beers that happen at FOBAB, you do lose track.
Yeah.
I don't know if I had a standout or even favorite beer. I think I was glad to finally try the Chemtrail mix, because I haven't had many of those beers.
Yeah.
You know who I didn't see? Did you see anything from 18th Street?
In the sour room, I saw something from 18th. But no, not on the floor.
Which is surprising, because they have a couple big barrel-aged stouts they do, right?
Yeah, they do. Hunter.
Yeah.
And we were saying how Goose Clyborne didn't submit anything this year.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, while we're on the subject, man, I'm still looking for the... classic beer. Okay. This bronze was Black Horizon for their gin barrel aged Fool Me Once. Church Street was the silver for Holy Moly.
Mm-hmm.
Middlebrow took the gold for Sassafras Brute.
Nice.
Yeah.
Where is Black Horizon?
Yeah.
Do you know?
Glenview or something?
Are they in our book?
Are they in the book? So we got the book.
Well, this is the 2017 guide.
Yeah.
Is there a table? This is all just location. We got the Beer Misuse guide. But I have to know where they are, right?
They are in Willowbrook.
They're in Willowbrook, okay.
Yeah. I don't know where Willowbrook is. Okay. Oh, but I tell you something, man. And this kind of dovetails into the rest of the stuff we did. But, you know, what I noticed this year was that, you know, not everybody's putting their dick in the mashed potatoes at this thing anymore.
What?
Right? That's not what I was to say. Not everybody.
I'd have to clip that. Yeah, that's.
No, not everybody's really like. Everyone's these brewers are making it a point to have like their special releases like at their brewery. So, like, for example, Benthic was released that weekend, right?
Mm-hmm.
None of the, I don't think Double Dose is the one they had. But, you know, OG Benthic wasn't there, and neither was Double Barrel Benthic wasn't there. Revolution guys, they didn't bring any of the star stuff that just came out. The Moore guys had a party for, you know, Karma, and they had all these barrel-aged versions of Henna on at their tap room. Crazy versions, yeah. Like Peanut Butter Cup and, you know, Marshmallow versions. I'd never even heard it. I didn't even know it existed, you know. Yeah, everyone's, like, still pushing those things at their pub still. The only guys that really brought, you know, stuff that would really be considered, like, their one-off kind of gems would be, well, Goose with all their full lineup.
Well, they have.
And Floyd's. But everyone else is kind of saying, hey, listen, you might want to come to our space if you want these other things.
I'm going to say that's straight up money. It's a money thing. I believe we were talking to someone. You do have to pay for your beers to be at FOBAP.
Oh.
So it's a fundraiser. So you're paying to enter your beers, basically, there. Where you could get, what, $500,000 for every keg if you're selling each by the glass. So a small brewery, that's a lot of money to just, like, hope that you maybe get a few people interested in what you're doing.
Yeah.
So. And your beer better be damn good, because if you stumble across somebody, then you're like, I don't really like what Mabel Brewing is doing. I don't think that's a brewery, but yeah.
You know, and yeah, speaking of breweries that we don't know about, man, I was looking at some of these that won, like Verboten Brewing, Caretas Brewing, and one of these is in Itasca,
Okay. Apparently.
And I'd never heard of it a day in my life.
Huh.
Yeah, so that was cool. There was some wacky talk about how, you know, grumpy old man talk, really, about how, like, the sours and the wild ales and some of this other stuff should be on the main floor, and some of the big, badass I think you were saying that. And I'm like, you know what? This is bizarre, and logistically this is probably impossible, but I'm kind of into the notion that some of that stuff should be in a different room.
Move those big stouts to the other room,
yeah,
and that becomes this stout room, and where you maybe can drink a few more sour beers and wild ales, and you can kind of, you don't have to leave the main floor, because the lines are for those big stouts.
Yeah.
Well,
I liked it.
A thought.
It was a good party. The glassware this year seemed like it was, like, stemless wine glass inspired.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I personally like the Irish coffee mug from, yeah, what was that, 2015? Still my favorite one.
Nice.
Yeah. We got the bagpipes that started. I saw the bagpipe player there.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah. What else? Oh, and then, of course, upstairs in the Brewer's Lounge, Will Turner got a commemorative mash paddle because this was his last day at Rev officially.
Yeah, that was his last day. It was funny because when I saw him earlier in the day, I was like, he's decked out in Rev gear, like head to toe. I was like, man, you're, like, leaving and you're still repping these guys. Like, yeah, that's crazy. But, yeah, it was his last day there, and they gave him a mash paddle. And we grabbed some photos of that. I think we tweeted that out and shared them on Facebook. And you have a little article you wrote.
That was a cool moment, you know. Yeah, and then I was just going to run through his wins at FOBAB because it was engraved with three beers. 2014, Filibuster took a gold. Working Woman took a silver in 2013. And Smoked took a bronze in 2016.
Okay.
So Will Turner going out with a bang of Revolution, man.
Yeah, I was I think I have a photo of Pete Crowley giving Will a hug.
Yeah.
And looking back at some of the photos on our Facebook page, there are multiple times where just Will and Pete are hugging and hanging out on stage at FOBAB, like, from years past. Like, it's kind of amazing to see.
Yeah. Shout out to Haymarket, man. I got some of that Claire's Thirsty Ale. I think Josh let me try a little bit of his. And it was good to see that. I didn't know if it was there or not. So
it was right next to right next to something else that people were, you know, I don't know, waiting in line for. But Claire's Thirsty is always, it's great beer.
Yeah, always a treat. That was FOBAB.
That was FOBAB. Definitely nice to see it, continuing to grow. Hopefully next year they get rid of these metal detectors. And I can't imagine how they get bigger, right? It didn't sell out all the sessions, so I think they're probably in a good shape still to continue at the USC Forum.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice. Awesome.
Cool.
All right. So that's FOBAB we got.
It's like it's almost like we're hung over this episode, right? Like
I don't know. It's just a lot to like recap and think about. That's why you gotta like dump your photos and you throw up an article right away.
It's a good call. When your photos go up so fast, it's like, all right, cool, photos are up. All right, cool, let's get something, let's get our thoughts down. So mm-hmm. when the show rolls around, we can at least like, because yeah, it all becomes a blur.
Yeah.
You know, 3-4 days later, it's kind of blurry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I did that. I slowed down quite a bit at FOBAB because we were waiting for these awards to happen. So I'm just.
Yeah, what the fuck, man?
I'm just standing there. I might have had the from Tangled Roots, their like King Kong and Kruger's mm-hmm. beer I was drinking at that time because they had this little campfire area. So I was drinking that. So I was like sipping on that just for like 30 minutes. Yeah. And then I would be like, all right, I guess I'll dip over here and grab something. But it like, maybe it's better.
Cruz Blanca, they had a really nice session pail. You know, the one that popped was the one from Hopewell, their latest pale ale. Was really good that day. Yeah.
Nice. So. Cool. So, yeah, that was FOBAB. Leading up to FOBAB, it was your birthday.
Yeah, man.
And so you got out.
We got after it, man. You know, yeah. I think it started like 8 a.m., you know. We're like, dude, we should probably go down to probably get some breakfast and go down a half acre and see what's up with this benthic release.
Okay.
Yeah. So, benthic, I think we were excited that benthic, the pre-sales were all sold out super quick, right? 300 pre-sales. Mm-hmm. And the pre-sale pickups were pushed over to Balmoral, which was great because they were doing bottle releases at Lincoln.
Oh, okay. So half the crowd was kind
of
split.
Exactly. You know, and they some of their friends from far and away, they had some stouts pouring. They called the party Connective Tissues. It's a half acre we're talking about here.
Okay.
You know, a bunch of stouts from far and away, their far and away friends pouring at Balmoral too. So we're like, cool, that's where the party's going to be. So if we can get to Lincoln, we'll be good, you know. Shout out to Phil Renda. He was a citizen who had his marker because apparently there was a lot of line hopping last year for benthic. So he went through the line, 1 through 246, because there's only 246 cases of, you know. And he started writing people's numbers on their hands. I was like, that's cool.
What number were you?
I was like, 110 or something.
All right, and you got there at 8 a.m.
Yeah, so we were in there.
Woo.
We were in there. It was hardcore, man. It was nice because it ran down a really nice side street. Cullum is a really nice residential street, and everybody was chill when they came out their house and saw all this madness, right?
Yeah.
And this thing ran like a full city block.
Okay.
Yeah, it was pretty intense all the way back to the alley.
Yeah, it runs like that for Big Hucks as well.
Oh, yeah. So
you got there, you got in line, you threw down.
Oh, man, you know, we ran into, the line. I was mixed emotions about the line because 3-4 years in the beer, the first thing I got over was, man, fuck lining up for these beers. I'm over that shit. Mm-hmm. But then I think lately, in the last couple years, I've been like saving beer a little bit more. And then also I've been embracing the idea of hanging out in these lines.
Okay.
You know, you meet a lot of cool people, you know, you can have a lot of cool beer, you know, and it's a bizarre phenomenon. We're all kind of in it together.
Sure. And, okay.
And you're drunk at 9 a.m. You know, you're drunk on a weekday at 9 a.m. is kind of cool.
So 1 hour in, you're already drunk.
Oh, yeah, we're ripped.
And you haven't. And when can you start buying?
10? Yeah, you can't. You buy at 11. So this is a 3-hour run where we locked out. It's like 35 degrees. So we did okay. It could have been worse.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're here to get the full allotment, man. We're here to get double dose benthic, which is double the coffee, double the coconut. Right?
Double the booze.
Boost. Just double the coffee, double the coconut. Right? Double the adjuncts.
Okay.
That's double dose. And then, so you got two bottles of that. And then the one, the smallest quantity was the one they were most proud of, they said, was double barrel. So it spent half its life in an apple brandy barrel, the other half in a whiskey barrel.
Ooh.
Yeah. So, and then they hit that one with like a little cinnamon to accent the apple brandy.
Nice.
Characteristics. And they were like, man, we're really proud of this, and we ain't got a lot of it, so you only get one. And then you get three of the OG benthic. And benthic's a monster on its own, you know. It's an imperial stout, a barrel-aged imperial stout with coffee and vanilla.
Okay.
I'm sorry. That's okay. Coconut.
Coconut.
Coffee, coconut.
Yeah. Yeah. It has those vanilla flavors.
Yeah. Sorry.
Okay.
Yeah. So I love this beer every time I have it. GABF, Stout Fest, up to this point, I've loved this beer. So I go get it far and away.
Yeah.
I'm like, bring on the benthic. So we went and we got a lot of benthic.
How many of them have you already drank?
You know, we drank one.
Just regular?
Just the regular. Just the OG. you know, after 3 hours, man, we were like, you know what? I don't want to go in and buy more beer. Let's just get out of here.
Yeah.
And, you know, have, eat some food and go and just crack one open.
Okay.
So that's what I ended up doing.
All right. So then you left there.
Yeah.
Picked up your bottles. Birthday day continues.
Yes. So a lot of people in that line were going to the Death Star release at 4 o'clock that day. So we didn't do that. We went to, you know, we went to Band of Bohemia.
Man, dude, you and none of these people have jobs? No one work anymore? Dude. Everyone in beer just wait in line?
And, you know, everyone's talking about, you know, how these beers did in a secondary last year and why the glassware is going to suck this year versus why it was good last year. And
the glassware?
The glassware. Like, people apparently, like, there's some serious glassware whores that are paying, like, $70-$80 for, you know, a Bente glass or even, like, you know, like, grit and grain glass. All right, so... A few years ago in Denver, Goose Island had the Grit and Grain documentary at a theater, and they had a mini snifter for that event. It wasn't for sale.
Yeah,
and that glass on secondary was going for like $85.
What
for a snifter? For a baby snifter?
I get rid of so many glasses. I probably have a 20th anniversary Goose Island glass somewhere.
Yeah. There's people out here that go nuts over glassware. But, you know, just talking the line. So that part was cool. I actually enjoyed the line. Oh, but I was looking to get the hell out of there, man.
But you could show up with, like, your cool vintage, like, 2010 FOBAP glass, and people be like, oh, damn, right?
We saw a guy, right? I think Gino from Temperance. He had his glass was different from ours. I'm like, what year is that? He's like, 2010, bro. I was like, oh, that's great.
So that's now becoming a thing. You show up to a fest. You're like, yeah, I'll take this glass. But I brought my own. It's about the same size.
Yeah, I brought my favorite of these. My favorite recently might have been the barrel. Remember the barrel from a couple years ago?
Oh, yeah. I never keep any of them.
You never keep the FOBAP? I keep all the FOBAP glasses.
I'm like, I don't. No. No, I don't need these.
Like
glasses.
The Lincoln Park, the Lakeview beer stroll, I don't know where that glass is. Mm-hmm. I keep the FOBAP glasses. Okay.
They are usually glass, where a lot of them are plastic. Which
plastic
are kind
ones
of,
don't stand a chance, yeah. They're, yeah. Yeah.
All right, but anyway.
Oh, but yeah, Benthic, man. Benthic is what it is, man. I think it might be my favorite of the stouts from them.
And we talked a lot about it on Far and Away episode. We will probably drink it here sometime soon if Nick shares any with me.
I mean, you know how it is, man. I sat on Energy City's beers for like 3 weeks and just forget, you know. I'm forgetful. We're going to bring it in and crack one.
All right. So then for dinner, you made your way over to Band of Bohemia.
Yeah. I wanted to, you know how Chicago is, you try to go somewhere every year for dinner if you can, right? Because it's endless. Oh, but I wanted to repeat because I haven't been in 3 years since the opening. Yeah. So, it was Band of Bohemia, man. They had a beer and spirit pairing, which I really dug.
Oh, cool.
And then that thing they say about you have to try the beer with the food is so true. I mean, and you know, I give them a lot of credit, man, because this is an ambitious project to say, hey, we're going to have this 15-barrel brew house or whatever, and we're going to make these beers that on their own are kind of bizarre. You know, I mean, they're well done, right? But they're kind of wacky.
Yeah, you don't want necessarily a turnip beer.
I had
a six-pack of that. Like, it's not a beer you want.
Yeah, man, I had... What did I have? I had a beer that was called an India. It was called India Pale Ale, but it was like their least hoppy beer.
Mm-hmm.
It had like, you know, I'm gonna pull up the ingredients here.
They have some like curry in there.
Yeah, and you know they're like, yeah, you gotta try it with the dish. So I went all seafood dishes, you know, a black cod, a charred octopus, and a king salmon, and you know we got the beers that they recommended. I mean, they also recommend a spirit. Like one of our dishes called for a cognac, and the other one called for a reposado tequila.
Okay.
So.
Did you full pours, or was it tasters of them?
No, we go full pours on the beer, and I'd say they gave you about 2.5 ounces, and some nice stemware on the spirit too. Yeah, it's a jazzy place, man.
Okay.
Like, I dig it, man. A lot of velour, right? A lot of like, a lot of soft lighting. A lot of, you know. It was cool. It was so cool. Such a dope space, man. I love that space. Yeah. But yeah, that was Band of Bohemia, man. I still quite don't understand their beers on their own. I could appreciate them on their own. But it's within the context of the space, their beers are great, you know. Their beers are great for that space, and it's such a cool concept. We talk about depth of brewery all the time, and I'm like, man, I'm so glad that you know, somebody had, you know, had the nads to say, hey, we're taking this beer dinner experience and we're really like amplifying that.
Yeah.
And making it such a niche thing that, you know.
Because you only hear about them when people go there. And you need, like we said, you see them at festivals sometimes, but not necessarily stand out.
Yeah.
Great people over there, Michael, and just like.
Because I think Michael spent some time with the
Half Acre
before he went there.
And they worked at Dark Matter for a while, learning about coffee. Okay.
Yeah.
Learning about beverages. And prior to that, he was also a chef somewhere else.
Yeah, so for example, there's a Jasmine Rice Ale, right? It's got Jasmine Rice and Vienna Malt. And then there's an Autumn by Nature, which is kind of like their Oktoberfest, but it's and that's the one you drink with the tequila. Mm. It has sweet potatoes and rye and cacao nibs in it. You know, the Indian Pale Ale had cardamom, coriander, clove, lime. You're supposed to drink it with a gin.
Okay.
Right? It's just, you know, it's just different. It's different. It's interesting on their own, and then they're really good with the food. So.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's quite a day then.
Man.
Benthic. Band of Bohemia.
I was happy, man. I took my cowboy boots off right there and just started wiggling my toes right at the table. It was great.
And then you moved into FOBAB the next day.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So
not a bad weekend.
That was a proper weekend, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome. Let's see. Anything else? You hit up like a little. You had a little after party then afterwards.
Oh yeah,
right?
Man. One more thing, man. Shout out to Afro Beer Chick and the Electric Jungle, which is a record mm-hmm. shop up in Rogers Park. He used to own Logan Hardware.
Mm.
So they left Logan and came up to Rogers, man.
Nice.
And you know, I've been living in Rogers Park since like maybe March of last year, but I never really kick it in Rogers Park, you know. So there's a bottle share, and then next door to the Electric Jungle is a barbershop called Handsome Bastard.
Okay.
Yeah. So this party was a combination. It was a combination beer competition and bottle share at the record shop.
Damn.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It was so cool, man. Yeah. So it was not sponsored by, but Illuminated Brew Works. They had a station in the back.
Okay.
Yeah. So everyone brought their beer, and then you could try all these Illuminated beers. And the Illuminated nice. Guys are like, oh, well, you know, I live in Ravenswood, and my buddy told me about this shop, so that's why I'm up here.
Oh, cool.
You know, yeah. And those boys actually have some really good sour beers, yeah, which I didn't know. I thought they were – because I told him when we went up to Crystal Lake a couple weeks ago, Duke's on tap, you know, first thing I got was, like, astronaut juice or something from them.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought they were just, like, you know, just some new hazy boys.
Yeah.
Illuminated said that they were looking to leave. They're in Fulton Market. They said they're looking to leave Fulton Market just because it's really competitive, and they want to go to one of their favorite accounts is up in Norwood Park. So that's just north of Jefferson Park. So we're talking the far northwest side of the city.
Okay.
Yeah, they're like, we want to go up there. You know, we want to be a destination for food and crazy beer.
So towards like Alarmist and
like that. Past, like north of that, yeah. But
yeah.
West, just as far west as that, and just and further north, mm-hmm. right? So that was an interesting talk. They had a beer with Parachute, the restaurant.
I don't know that.
There's a restaurant Parachute that they have a collaboration with. I think my favorite beer from them that day was this beer called a Paradiola. So it was a farmhouse ale. They took the Virtue cider barrels and aged the beer in that. So this was the third use barrel because it was a previously held cider and before that it held bourbon. So they put their farmhouse ale in that for a year. And then they hit it with some buckwheat and some Asian pears. And, man, this thing was so wavy.
That sounds good.
Yeah, like it just had all those layers that we love, man, you know, like tart fruit and ripe fruit and like great aroma. This shit was so good. So, yeah, man. And, like, there was, like, 15 contestants in the beer competition. And it was at a record shop.
That's not a bad Sunday.
Dude, it was so chill.
Yeah.
One of the ladies brought like a bunch of new Glarus. So, you know, I'm just cruising like 5% beers, which was perfectly right on time. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah. That was a good Sunday. And then, you know, you're getting recommendations on where to eat and where to party in Rogers Park, which is something I needed. So,
yeah.
I had myself a good old time, man.
Cool.
I go to that train every day, but I never crossed the tracks.
Stop over there.
Yeah. Okay. So,
nice. The only other thing I ended up doing is I went up to Temperance on Monday.
Evanston.
I was going to go, I was going to make two other stops this past weekend. I was going to go out to 350 and pick up their killer hops from space, their can release.
Okay.
Sunday, I was not feeling like making that drive after FOBAP. So
you're talking like a good 30 miles.
Yeah. I wanted to. We might have been drinking it right now. Didn't make it out there. So sorry, 350.
And thank you, Jonathan.
Yeah.
Right?
But then I was like, oh, didn't Sketchbook recently have some cans that got released? I should go up there. You know, I think maybe on Monday I had to be up that way sort of. So I was going to do that. And then I look it up. Sketchbook and Smiley are both closed on Mondays.
Really?
Yep. And so a couple other breweries, like right outside in the suburbs over there, are also closed on Monday. Temperance? No. 7 days a week.
Temperance is with it. They're like, come on over.
So I'm like, well, I'm going to go to Temperance then. Sketchbook. Man, once again, I was going for those stouts. I wanted to see what Sketchbook was doing.
I did see an email about like some kind of barrel stuff from Sketchbook. Yeah, some cans. And then you're on the wall. On the wall as part of the community, the CSB.
Yeah, I wanted to go. So, but I went to Temperance, and was hoping maybe some of those Might for Right cans might have been around still, or stuff on draft. No. They did have barrel-aged Songbird, which is their Saison. It was aged in Cuval gin barrels.
Nice. That sounds nice.
That was awesome. Yeah. And then I also had their Cream Ale Fence Jumper. So just a couple little beers, a quick stop in. I didn't pick up anything to go. They had like their normal, you know, Gatecrasher. They had Songbird cans.
We recorded our first ep on the road.
Yeah.
Up there at Temperance.
So nice little stop. I was disappointed I couldn't go to Sketchbook. Maybe another time. Not Monday.
Don't go on Mondays.
Now I know. Monday. Don't go to Evanston on Monday. Really. It's fine. You can go to Temperance, but a lot of stuff is closed.
I tell you, man. People drink on Mondays, man.
I get people need a day off if you're working at these places, but I don't know. Monday. Ouch. That was my only other stop besides FOBAB, which was probably good because needed to recover.
Yeah.
And we're coming up to Thanksgiving here, so there's plenty of drinking to be happening by all. anything coming up this week that people should be checking out? Anything on the calendar?
Well, you know, it's Black Friday this week.
Right. So also, Blackout Wednesday.
Blackout Wednesday. Yeah, I think we're going to find ourselves at Timothy O'Toole's on Wednesday.
Okay.
Because they're doing all 8 bourbon counties on tap.
Okay.
And, you know, and after going to the Benthic release, I think, you know, I don't think we're going to go wait in line for Black Friday stuff, for Bourbon County stuff.
You say that now.
Like 2 days out, I'm like, we're not
Come
going.
Come Friday, Nick's going to wake up. And
why
be
you got to
like,
do me
I
like
gotta,
that, man?
I guess I'll go over there and see what they got.
So that's happening. And then there's a bunch of stuff all around town around Black Wednesday. You know, the guys out of Docks in Mokina, they're doing a Black Wednesday party. Friday, November 23rd is... it's Black Friday at the Noble Grape.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's so many places that are doing. Even Jewel Osco's in on it, man.
Right. So if you're in Chicago, you're going to have a chance to try some crazy stouts this weekend.
You know, if you go to Temperance on Black Wednesday, I'm sorry, not at Temperance. If you go to Lynx on Black Wednesday, Lynx is doing they're doing Might Meets Right Black Wednesday.
Oh, maybe I'll go to that.
Now that's cooking with gas right there. They got three versions of Might Meets Right on tap.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll be there tomorrow. It is just tomorrow.
It is tomorrow. They have a 2018 Might Meets Right. They have a Heaven Hill Bramble Might Meets Right this year.
Sounds good. Nice. Also, then Saturday is a bottle release at Cruz Blanca. They have a bunch of barrel-aged stouts that they're releasing. We should get over there and record. We know a couple people there.
We do know a couple people there. Yeah. The Rick Bayless Brewery.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some members of the flock are over there.
Yeah.
Yeah, including the former head pub brewer at Clybourne, Jacob Sombrano. He's over there too.
Mm-hmm. So they have some stouts they're releasing on Saturday. It looks like a massive lineup. I may go over there and see if I can pick up some bottles.
Dude, I'm telling you, man, that place is just as good as anything in West Loop.
Yeah.
Yeah. Every time there's a party at Goose Fulton. Mm-hmm. You know, we pregame at Cruz Blanca.
Wow.
Just about every time.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cool. There are a handful of other, like, Blackout Wednesday, Black Friday releases, Tap Takeovers.
Yeah, so Whirly Ball's having a party, you know. The Beer Temple is having a Bourbon County party. You know, there's they're all over the place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think there's other can releases from people. I don't know. It's just it's a crazy weekend if you want to buy beer and drink beer.
Yeah.
So get after it. Follow us on Facebook or check out our Facebook page. We'll probably share some more there and let you know kind of what's happening if we see any that you should be going to.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, Nick, before we get out of here, these episodes have been starting to run like an hour.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Are we rambling? We have to be honest if we are. So
I don't know.
So we can not ramble.
Well, someone needs to tell us.
Yeah, tell us if we're rambling, please.
We're rambling. But is there any beer news? Anything been happening?
No beer news. Shout out to Off Color. They took a gold at FOBAB. But then also they had a beer called Rhin de Renards. It was a collab with
Rhinehall?
No. Oh. With Angry Orchard.
Oh.
Yeah. And it reminded me of this party. I think it was Ryan Burke's his birthday party or something. We hung out there and it was like so many ciders and so many wild ales. And then somebody brought a case of Miller High Life.
Okay.
And it was like an oasis. People ran to the Miller High Life. But when I saw that they were doing a beer, it reminded me of that party that I went to and they happened to be at. And I was excited to drink that beer. I just started reminiscing on all these beers with people that we've been drinking with for a long time. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, we missed their anniversary party because it was also Friday, or not Friday, Saturday with FOBAB.
Yeah.
So congrats to them. I saw a few pictures and tweets from the party. It looked like it was a blast. So.
Yeah. And yeah. So.
All right. Should we get out of here then?
Yeah, let's go, man.
Quit rambling.
Nick, no more rambling, Brett.
Nick, where can people find you? Get in touch when we're not here.
Right on, man. I'm on Twitter at Nicosio.
And I'm on Twitter at BRad. Chicago Beer Pass is on Twitter at Chicago Beer Pass. We're always sharing lots of photos on Instagram, our Instagram stories as well. So check us out there, Chicago Beer Pass, and Facebook page, like I said. And website, chicagobeerpass.com. Everything gets posted there, links to iTunes, Stitcher, the YouTube version as well. Whew, we've almost crushed this Imperial Pajamas.
And we might have a special guest next week. I think we're scheduled to have the Brew Lights folks.
Yep.
So the auxiliary board for Lincoln Park Zoo and the good folks over at Lakeshore Beverage are set to join us next week. So that should be fun.
Nice. And then we hopefully have an episode with Spiteful coming up as well. Maybe we'll get over to Goose Island to talk to Jared again. Didn't happen before Black Friday. They let us down. But we always got a lot of good stuff in the works, and we'll be back with another episode next week. Take care.
Cheers.